I got to talk just a few minutes about this business of good works. All the church ever does with its arguments of good works is produce Romans 7. What's Romans 7 say? We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Now what is being said here is that which I do, I don't want to do. But that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now that sounds complicated, a lot more than it is. It's just a simple testimonial by Paul, and it's impossible that the Apostle Paul could be saying this, smitten by a light from heaven, talked to by God, and called on the Damascus Road with the hands laid on him and blindness removed and sight restored and 3 years in the desert studying and being taught of the Holy Spirit and 14 years later going to Jerusalem and working it out there with the brethren. For him to say this, he writes it from Corinth, has it hand-delivered by Phoebe, a lady businesswoman. And it's Paul saying this. What I would do, I'm not doing. And what I hate, that's what I'm doing. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. The very fact that I would not, which is a way of saying, no, it's not what I should be doing, and therefore I know I ought not to do it, and therefore don't want to do it, but I'd still do it. There's got to be some compass point or benchmark which makes me reach the conclusion, I shouldn't do that. I would not do that if I could keep myself from it. But in spite of the fact that I wouldn't, I am. So that in itself is proof that I consent to the law that it's good. I'm condemning myself for doing it because I don't want to do it, but I'm still doing it. So I'm consenting to some law that sets a standard higher than my performance. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's a strange way to put it. Now I know I've got bacteria in my body that I don't like. But now here's a strange one. You mean, here I am, I know something's right and I want to do it, but instead of doing it, I don't. And I know that I should do something, and therefore I know it's right, but instead of doing it, I'm not. What in the hell's wrong with me? Got an invader in me. Sin. This is the King James I'm reading. That which I do, I'm against it. I allow not. I am not approving of my action. Verse 15, Romans 7. For what I would do, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I, or I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. That's not an argument. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That dirty, evil critter that's invaded pure little me. I don't quarrel with preaching on good works. My quarrel is on who defines them and how do you get them. There is no quarrel on the product that is the ultimate goal. I did my doctoral dissertation on Reinhold Niebuhr's view of the ideal for man and how to achieve it. Christianity is involved with the task of changing lives, but it has forgotten the secret and has started peddling a cheap imitation for the product of new creation in Christ Jesus that is the message of Christianity and the absolute difference between Christianity and Judaism. And my cry to the church is, who hath bewitched you? Received you the Spirit by the works of the law? Were you rewarded for perfection or by the hearing of faith? And it was rhetorical. Paul is talking. He is a Christian well down the trail. And he is not writing to sinners. He is writing to Christians. And he's doing what I'm trying to do on TV tonight. Teach the most difficult truth. That which I do, I allow not. I don't like what I do. I'm not doing it because I've given myself permission to do it. I'm just doing it. And I know I shouldn't be, and I don't want to, but I'm doing it. And what I would do, which I know I should do, in short, and that which I really do want to do, that do I not. Worse than that, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I'm doing it, and I wouldn't, if I could keep from it, I consent unto the law that it's good. You got no argument out of me, Paul is saying. The law is good. I want to do it, but I'm not doing it. And what I don't want to do, I'm doing. And what I want to do, I'm not doing. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This invader is bad. For to will is present with me. Isn't that what most of the church is trying to cultivate in you, the will to do good? We already got that. We laugh and kid about sin in my church, but there ain't anybody inside the doors that doesn't have the will to do good. That ain't our problem. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the problem. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it. But sin that dwelleth in me. He says the same thing in verse 17 and says the same thing in verse 20. For if I do that I would... When you say something twice, pay attention. For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. The word in the Greek is nomos, law. Now let's talk about law. We have the same use of the word in English. What's the law of gravity? The law of gravity is a theory that can be worked out mathematically, having to do with relative mass and differentials that affect the pull on each other. It can be worked out mathematically. It can be stated as a principle. You step off of this step right here, your foot will go down to the floor rather than up to the ceiling. You don't have to experience the law to understand the law. I don't have to experience gravity. Law is abstractly a statement of a principle or a concept. But there's another meaning of the word law. Law as a force. Get up from your chair right now if you're strong. Hold it over your head and try to sit on it. Come on. Get up from your chair there at home and pick up your chair and hold it over your head and then sit on it. See, you know the law of gravity. You're smart. Well enough to not try that. Because gravity is a force. It's more than just a theory. It's an active force. That's why I'm sitting in this chair instead of floating around tonight. That's why when I hold these glasses up and drop them, they drop. Same thing here. Paul is speaking of law, not as some theory that a preacher can spell out. A force. I see another law. Nomos. In my members, warring, active. This critter is active and powerful, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Theories don't bring you into captivity. into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. We've got an infection, and like a gravitational pull, it will take us and keep us and always does have us captive. Now, how do you get free from gravity? You place your body in a position where a greater force overpowers, overcompensates, outthrusts the gravitational pull. And that's what Christianity's about. That's how the Roman letter started. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, good news. I'm so tired of it being bad news. Good news of Christ. For it is the power, dunamis is the word in the Greek from which we get dynamite, the power of God unto salvation. Every other method of revealing God's righteousness had no power to save. God's righteousness was as real as it was and uncompromised by the law, but it could save nobody because all it could do was measure you, put you down, and hold you in contrast and help you not at all. The letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life. And the letter of Christian Neo-Puritanism kills just as much as Judaism in its legalism kills. You can know the law, that's Satan's message. You're saved by grace, but maintained by good works. You are not maintained by good works. You are maintained by the good worker who works his works of the Spirit in you. I don't want you confused as saints when I've set you free. Paul is saying this. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. This is why when you have the mind of Christ, you love the sinner. Oh, I know. Believe me. I care about suffering humanity. But there is nothing that humanity suffers from like this enslavement. And they don't really need me beating them on the head to tell them that. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Whereas the alternative is this body of death. Thank God he didn't close the letter there. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because the question is, how? How? I know, verse 18 says, that in me dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. How is in italics added by the translators. This time they're close because it says the same thing, but to perform that which is good I find not. He doesn't know how. Who then shall deliver me from the body of this death? He didn't quit there. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's caught in that schizophrenic existence. A mind that can hear the truth and know what's right, and a body that like gravity keeps him earthbound to this infected territory. What are we going to do? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And here they come with, do you believe the inerrant word of God? The manuscripts from which this book is translated exist primarily in two kinds, what are called uncial and what are called cuneiform. Uncial manuscripts are the earlier manuscripts written in capital letters. Cuneiform are written in smaller letters years and sometimes centuries later. Your oldest manuscripts that go back to the 4th century and piecemeal and sectioned pierce into the 3rd and clear back to Tatian's Diatessaron in 170 A.D. We know the roots from which these manuscripts grow, but the uncial manuscripts, the oldest ones, check me out. was centuries before the scripture added in the original manuscripts that next line. Originally it read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit," is added in later manuscripts. I have no quarrel with it, but it confuses the process a bit, because it's better added later in the chapter where God put it in the most original manuscripts. It states an axiomatic truth. There is therefore now no condemnation, and condemnation is either krema or katakrema. Katakrema is ultimate condemnation. When you want temporary to become ultimate in the Greek, you put kata in front of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well now, no ultimate condemnation if I'm in Christ. How do I get in Christ? There's the safe place. There's the deliverance. How do I get in Christ? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we've already established that we're talking about law as a force, not a theory. Law as the force that takes you into captivity is going to be contrasted with law as a force that pulls you out of captivity. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For, gar is the word in the Greek, it's a rhetorical technique of the ancient Jewish rhetoric, or those logicians that would argue. They always reverse what is Aristotelian logic. Aristotelian logic puts the premise first and everything flows from it. They reverse it. They make a statement and then give the premise which follows. For is always a rhetorical word that means what I'm going to say is going to explain what I just said. Now watch it. For, how is there no, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? And leave out the rest of it that was put in later translations, and I'll show you why. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You remember I've used as a Christian illustration the reluctant astronaut. He, once he got in that spaceship, he didn't want to fly. But when that force let loose, he was going to fly. And when he opened the door and was hanging from that great height, he flew. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. They that are of the flesh or after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, I've taught my dogs to mind me. That's the word. That's the meaning of the word. To mind in that sense. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Huh? How'd that happen? But in the Spirit. Huh? How'd that happen? I don't remember flopping around anywhere. You don't have to. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, now I got a definition I can live with. I've been worrying about this being a super mystical thing. How do I get in Christ? Do I have sprout wings and fly to glory? No, he just said it. I'm in Christ if Christ is in me. How do I get Christ in me? I'll jump across it all now. Christ is formed in your heart by faith. The way you get this force is faithing, not imitation. You can't grow up in this country. By the time you're 15, you're taught how to act like a Christian. Everybody knows that. The world's more expert on it than the church people are. Everybody's telling you what a Christian should do and shouldn't do. That isn't the problem. The problem is how to obtain them. I don't even mind maintaining them if we can figure out what the maintainer is. But you know my favorite illustration. Most Christians are making a Porsche perform. A Porsche is supposed to move down the road. So they're out there behind the Porsche pushing it down the freeway. See, we're maintaining Porsche movement. Fool, you get in the car and start the engine and rev it up and hang on. Buckle the seatbelt, friend. Obviously, we are saved unto good works. Obviously, we are being saved unto good works. Obviously, the Thessalonian letter says the God of peace shall sanctify us wholly over there. Obviously, the word sanctification means separation from, to. And it is separation from ourselves and from sin and from the wrong path to God and His path and His righteousness. But He's the Savior. And the Scripture is loaded to the hilt with sanctification by the Spirit, of the Spirit, and through the Spirit. The axiomatic result of being in Christ, you will begin and continue and maintain walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. An inevitable happening occurs. And my quarrel is with the failure of the church to point out the paradoxical truth of Christianity. You go up by going down, you become first by being last, you live by dying, and you get a victory over the law of sin by not attacking the sin, but by grabbing hold of God's promises in an action of faith that establishes a connection like the plugging of a plug in and a cord into a circuit allows the current to flow that gives the power to light the light bulb. Faith in a promise of God is the plugging in of the cord. And faith maintained keeps the current of God's life flowing, and that current is a force that will change us and, like rocket thrust, maintained, will displace the law of sin with a new force that brings forth the fruit of righteousness. And it's not imitation, it is spiritual fruition. And it is Satan's technique, since he can't keep people from coming to God, to break the connection by an artificial attention on good works done by man instead of faithing works that bring the do-gooding spirit within us to change us himself. How do I get in Christ? It says it as clear as a bell. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. My friend, you can imitate good works till you die and fool every man on your block. But if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. And spiritual imitation is being peddled for the righteousness that is of God. And God's Word says all our righteousness is filthy rags. We are an infected bunch. And that's why I'm out looking for sinners saying, hey, your problem ain't new to God. I'm not here to dump on you. I'm not here to hide the fact that sin is real. I'm not even here to quarrel with you that it's enjoyable. Sin is pleasurable, but it's for a season. The pleasures of sin for a season. I'm offering life and the way to life. I'm offering dynamite that can blow you free. I'm offering good news, the dynamite of God unto salvation, soterion. That means completion, means health, means fullness, means attaining the purposes for which you exist. It means everything. And the God of peace will finish the job over there. But there's no ultimate condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and you are in Christ when He's in you. Well, now, the Bible's full of statements telling me how to get Him in me. Christ is formed in your heart by faith. Every time I faith, Christ is in me. Galatians 6, I teach on it all the time. That's a faith work. God says, if so be you've been taught, then share materially with the one that taught you. Then it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've heard of laws of sowing and reaping. Baloney. That may be a law, but God's law has to do with giving. Galatians 6 talks about giving. And if you act in faith on God's promise that way, the promise is, if you sow to the flesh, you love the flesh, reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, the Greek has it, ye shall of the Spirit of life. Because it is a deposit, just like sin is a deposit. It is a new invader, a good invader. The Spirit of life reap life everlasting. And God puts life in us when we act on a faith promise. I tell my people, I don't want to change you. I don't even want to save you. But if the teaching of God's Word gets you faithing, look out, friend. You're going to change. And I'm not going to hammer you. Well, what about the verse of Scripture that says, compete for good works. See who can be the best at it. Fine. Fine. I don't care if you do aerobics in the spaceship. But if you want to fly higher than somebody else, faith the Titus connection. Just as simple as that. Don't flap your wings in fly-by imitations. Faith a little tighter. Because faith and faith alone establishes that connection that makes God put in you His injection of His life.